Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Halloran. Today, we actually have somebody who I've been connected with on social media for a really long time. And when we got on Skype today, we realized this is the first time we've actually seen each other in person without just a weird static LinkedIn image. So we're going to be interviewing Amy Kaiser, who is a PHR, and she's the managing partner at Talent Link Solutions. The overall idea of this podcast is very, very, very simple. People, advisors, don't understand that one of your best marketing and selling points can be the team you hire, but we all know that finding people is really hard. And that's what Amy does. Now, she's going to dive into that a little bit more deeply here in a few minutes. But Amy, tell us, how did you stumble into working with these wonderful people that we both work with, which are financial advisors?
Well, thank you, Matt, for having me today. I'm excited to talk with you. The term stumble is exactly what I did. I have been a third-party recruiter, so helping companies to hire my entire career. And about 10 years ago, I stumbled upon a client relationship through TD Ameritrade. So helped them to hire their internal staff there for a number of years. And through that experience, I eventually landed myself a role as part of the HR team with an independent broker dealer, First Allied Securities, which was a wonderful experience, again, helping on the home office side with hiring. And what happened was, at my time with First Allied, we were constantly having our advisors come to the HR team saying, help me, help us. We don't know how to hire. We don't know what to hire. We don't want to have to deal with hiring. Mm-hmm. And there was a very clear line there that because of the relationship of the broker-dealer and the advisors that we could not help them. Mm-hmm. And so my business partner came to me right about that time and said, let's go start a company together. And so I said, you know what? There is a market here that really needs some help. We've got to help advisors understand how to hire better. So that's what we did. And that's how we started our company.
Well, let's break that down a little bit more deeply, because that sounds very simple, but that's really not a simple project. So what do you do for advisors exactly? I mean, so what services does your organization offer?
Yeah, so the thing is, right, the financial services community, independent advisors in particular, have historically hired their neighbor's daughter, right, or somebody through, you know, a networking referral, or they've maybe posted an ad in the newspaper, you know, and sort of hired the best of the applicants that they could get their hands on. And so we, based on our experience helping corporate companies, larger companies, brought a direct hire search service to the financial advisor community. And so what we do is we learn everything we can, whether it's a solo practitioner or a large ensemble. We have multi-billion dollar RIAs that we work with, like I said, all the way back down to the individual solo practitioner. We learn everything we can about them, their clients, their company, what they offer employees, and then we put a story together and we go out into their specific geography and we tap on the shoulder of people that are already performing this job within their competitors. And then we convince them that they should be looking at new opportunities and hopefully introduce them to our clients.
Well, I want you to, we're going to come back to the story. Right. Because one of my questions is, you know, how can your process help with marketing? And I think you just nailed it there. So we're going to come back to that in just a minute. But what are your biggest struggles with working with financial services professionals or BDs or RIAs or anything like that?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, this, the way that we operate is a new idea. And when you are considering making a hire, you have to have that story to tell. You have to be able to communicate your value proposition in the same way that you would communicate it to a potential client. And I think that just historically, the value that financial advisors in particular have put onto their staff and the people that are working with them and helping them to propel their business forward, it hasn't been at a high enough level. And so I think that advisors need to understand that it is an investment. So that's first and foremost, right? You can't cheap out when you're looking to hire somebody to help elevate your business. I think you need to have a very clear understanding of the things that you do well or that your business already does well and where the weaknesses are and what you're trying to hire for. I think you need to define that completely before you go through the hiring process. So that's a challenge that we encounter. And then I think you have to be committed. We go through this process with a number of individuals or firms that at the end of the day, they decide that they don't want to hire or they do go the cheaper route or whatever it may be. And so I think those are probably the three challenges that we encounter the most.
Fantastic. Well, if you haven't written a white paper on that, I highly recommend that you do, because that was really, really awesome. And I have experienced the same thing being a coach, especially when it comes to the cheapen thing, right? So, advisors think that, I'm not going to pay Amy's premiums or a regular, hiring fee, which of course every single solitary hiring agency, has some sort of a fee structure. They're going to go ahead and hire their, their neighbor's daughter's best friend's dog. And the problem with that is, you really do get what you pay for. And Kirk and I talk about that on this podcast all the time. So I know that that's another one of those kind of philosophical underpinnings that don't necessarily help our advisors be as successful as we want. Because Amy, you and I are in the same boat, right? We want our clients to be super duper successful. And we know that we have proven systems to be able to help them to be as successful as we think they should be. All right, switching gears. Ready? So this is going to be our kind of fun part of the show. What are the biggest mistakes you see when advisors are hiring?
The biggest mistakes I see, I sort of touched on the one that happens pre-hire. So that is not defining what you need, what you want. And so they walk into the interview process and it's really about, do I like this person? Mm-hmm. When that should not be any part of it, right?
Sure,
or
sure.
The very last part of it, if at all. That's the biggest mistake on the front end.
Okay.
Through the interview process, I see a number of mistakes. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the candidate walk away from an interview and they say, I didn't really say much. The advisor talked the whole time.
Yeah.
Or I've had people walk out of interviews and say, I would never work for that person because they were, asking me questions that made me uncomfortable, and probably verging on potentially, unlawful. Mm-hmm. So those are, some of the things that I see through the process. And then at the end of the process, I will tell you, I see this more often than anything else, and that is that they have a clear understanding of what this person who they love and know could help propel their business forward, and they cheapen out on them. Mm. They offer them $10,000 less than they know that the person needs to make a move. I see that time and time again. So I'd say that those are probably the primary through each of the stages.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about some of those questions. You have been doing this for a long time. What are some of the worst questions or some questions that you would like to tell advisors, please, dear God, don't ask?
Well, you mentioned that I have my PHR, which is a human resources certification. So I cringe when I hear advisors ask things that are unlawful. And I think it's just it's an awareness thing. I think that, they need to find more interesting ways to get to the answers that they're really looking for. But I have had advisors ask women, you know, are you going to be having a family in the next 1 to 2 years? Because I really need somebody who's going to be here. I mean, it really, I've had interviews go down the religious track. I mean, all the things that you really need to steer clear of, I have had happen.
Wow. Well, when I was walking through, I think I read one of your papers. So if you're not connected with Amy on LinkedIn, you need to do that, because she publishes stuff and shares stuff all the time. That's fantastic, which is one of the reasons why her and I are connected. But I think I was reading something that you had written, and I was walking an advisor through that, and he said that exact thing. Well, am I allowed to ask her if she's going to have children? I was like, dude, no, you can't do that. You're going to get yourself in trouble, and it's just not an appropriate question. Now, I understand why they're asking it, right? I really do, and I know you do too, but you just, you know, there's certain things that you're really not supposed to ask. But let's turn the coin over on the other side here, Amy. What questions should they ask? You were just saying something about liking them isn't necessarily what the first line of defense. Well, I like them, I'm going to hire them. So help us, give me like two or three really great questions that advisors should ask when they're interviewing.
The key to finding out if the person is who you need in your practice is diving very specifically into their skill set. And I think that if I could educate all interviewers on this one thing, whether you're an advisor or home office, you know, hiring manager or anyone, it's that you have every right to get as specific as you want when it comes to skills and experience. I think too often interviews become this just very general question and answer forum, right? Do you know this? Yes, I know that. Do you do this? Yes, I do that. It's almost mechanical, if you will. And I tell advisors all the time, especially for my people who are always coming with some sort of experience, you know, you need to ask them, you know, what that, you know, previous practice looked like. How many clients did they have to manage? What service requests came up most often? You know, how do you, you know, process an ACAT? I mean, it really can be very specific. And I think that's the thing that most of my clients struggle with through the interview process.
Gotcha.
You need to drill down.
Good. Yeah, I don't see that very often, Amy. When I'm reviewing the questions that my advisors are asking during the hiring process, they're very general. They're very like 30,000 foot view questions. And so everybody, there's one of your big nuggets of gold. Every time we have a Top Advisor Marketing podcast, we're always looking for that nugget. And one of the big nuggets that we just got there is really drill down and be specific, which also would lead you to maybe not just having the primary advisor be involved with the interview. If there is a team, if you're hiring an operations person, you still have an operations person there, they should probably be in there too to make sure they're asking the right questions. Am I on the right track there?
Absolutely. I'd say yes. And especially if you're not in a team, leverage your, you know, custodian or your broker dealer or whoever it is to really assess the skills, because that's what you're looking for. Yes, you want to know that you can work side by side with that person, but more importantly, you need to know that they know how to do the job, because historically, in my experience, you know, advisors don't like to spend a lot of time training.
Yeah, that's very true.
More important than anything.
Yeah. Well, now, so this is a marketing podcast, and the overall idea here is to use different venues or different disciplines, within financial services, and show how just about everything comes back to marketing. And you really hit it right out of the park on one of your first statements, which is, if the advisor doesn't have a good story, it's going to be difficult for you as the hiring professional to sell people on working with you. So, Amy, talk us through maybe some of the questions or your process on how you help uncover that story so that you can help sell that advisor's firm to prospective new employees.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say a lot of times for my purposes, it is about, you know, what does that ideal client actually look like? And what sort of, you know, ways do I support my clients? Because I'll be honest, I hear a lot of the same stuff, right? We're a comprehensive wealth management firm. We, you know, serve X clients, you know, whatever it is, it's very similar to the last conversation I had about, you know, hiring. And so I think for us, it's getting down into, and this is not my job, right, helping them to define their marketing strategy. But I think we do help in some ways through this process, because we want to know really what makes them different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it's through our language that they can help to identify that themselves. But I think more importantly, when you talk about hiring, it really should tie back to what you want to do as a firm, what mm-hmm. you want to do as a company, what you want to do for your clients, and what you know want to offer them. And depending on what that strategy is, you then have to decide what you do well and hire to the other stuff. And so just to kind of clarify what I'm talking about here, I have some clients that come to me and say, I need a strong operations person, right? I'm a rainmaker. I need to be out. I need to be talking with clients. I need to be developing new business. I need to be doing that as a focus. And right now, I'm spending 70% of my day in the office on administrative tasks. So that's sort of one angle. But then the other angle is, I have advisors that come to me and say, I don't want to do business development anymore. I don't want to focus on growing my firm personally. I still want to grow, but I love the relationships. I love the planning. You know, I love sort of the in-house stuff. And so we advise that advisor to go hire a business development person. Go hire to the things that you don't want to do. And ultimately, that's the biggest message, right? Is figure out what you do well, mm-hmm. and then hire to the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And that is ultimately what's going to help elevate the firm.
Absolutely. Gosh, that's fantastic. One of the techniques that I've used, and I don't remember where I learned this from, is make a list of all of the things that you don't like to do, and let's start there.
Absolutely.
Well, I want everybody to have the opportunity to get to know you personally a little bit better. And these are kind of rapid fire questions, so you don't have to, you know, dive in too deep on these. But I just want people to say, okay, you know what? Hey, not only does that Amy Kaiser lady really give us some good information, but you know what? I like what she, you know, her foundation and who she is as a person. So the first question is, when you're not working, what do you do for fun?
Well, for fun, I live 4 blocks from the ocean, so I spend a lot of time at the beach. I go to the beach with my dog. I go to the beach with my kids. I go to the beach by myself. So I'd say beach time is probably what I do the most.
Fantastic. Who's your hero? Who do you look up to?
Oh, my grandmother. She was a rock, and I take after her in all kinds of ways, but she, in a time when being a single mother was, you know, not ideal, she raised 4 wonderful children and just stayed true to her independence throughout her entire life. So she's definitely who I look up to the most.
If you had all of the money in the world, what would you do differently?
I would still work a little bit, which I'm sure is, you know, really unusual compared to a lot of people, but on a much more part-time basis, for sure. but I love the interaction that I get with people and helping people. That's what we do, you know, at the end of the day, is help people. So I would still do that. I would take much more lavish vacations with my children, though, because the time that I get to spend with them is limited. So I would do a whole lot more of that and probably walk on the beach every day, which I don't get to do right now.
Nice. What is your idea of success?
My idea of success is, you know, the thing that I have said for probably 15 of my 20 years, once I finally realized it, is that I get 1 or 2 letters a year from people that I help land new jobs or from my clients that say, you changed our life. you made it better. And for me, if I'm never rich, if I'm never a millionaire, if I still have that going for me, I'm successful.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. Okay, let's see. What is the one thing? So almost every professional person that I work with, talk to, interview, or whatever, they have that one go-to thing, whether it's a book, it's a song, it's a mantra, it's a something. What is your go-to thing that you say, here, read this, and this will either change your life, or read this, this is what you need?
You know, I don't know if it's like one thing I can point people to, but I will tell you, I am probably disciplined to a fault, which I may not recommend for everyone. but, you know, I've trained for marathons. You know, I've started two successful businesses. You know, I've raised two wonderful children to the halfway point anyway. And through all of that, the thing that has gotten me through it is discipline and staying committed and knowing exactly what needs to be done and doing it. No procrastination here. So I'd say that's the one thing that's helped me through all of it.
Well, thank you very much for giving us an insight into who Amy is a little bit more. And the last part here is you have the attention of a pretty good listener group. How should people contact you? So what is the best way for people to reach out? They need you to help them hire, right? How should they get in contact with you?
Email is probably the number one way. So it's AKIZ like zebra, ER at talentlinksolutions with an S at the end, .com. That's the easiest way. Second to that is through LinkedIn.
Yeah, you're like wicked active on LinkedIn.
I am. I have about 4,000 financial services connections. So wow. Very, very connected there.
Yeah. Well, and that's how, you know, I ran across your stuff is you were connected with somebody who I was connected with and they reposted one of your things. And everybody, you know, that really is a great way to kind of keep your pulse on what's going on in our industries. Make sure you follow the right people. And Amy Kaiser is one of those people to follow. I absolutely love the stuff that she publishes. I'm so glad that you took some time out of your day today to drop some wisdom on our listenership. And is there anything you want to say in closing?
It was a blast. And just keep on thinking about making an investment when you're hiring. That's the biggest message that I want out there.
And please make an investment in yourself and your long-term practice. Whether it's making an investment when you're hiring the right person or whether it's making an investment into creating content, your marketing, your branding, coaching, any of those things, understand that it's money in, money out, right? The more money you put into it and the better people that you hire, the better stuff you're going to get out. And I'm going to just summarize real quick something that Amy said that I think is just a great, great idea. If you don't have a good brand and if you don't have a good story, it's going to be impossible for you to hire the right people because you're not hiring people who are in line with who you are philosophically and what products and services that you offer. If you are not truly unique and different as a financial services professional, not only are you not going to have the best market share, but you're not going to have the people on board that are going to be as passionate as you are about what you do. So thank you very much, Amy, for your time today.
Thank you, Matt. It was a blast.
All right, and we will see all of you on the other side of the mic.